Beautiful. Thanks, guys. That was beautiful. Can we just say thank you to the worship team this morning? So good. So good. So I want to share something that's on my heart with you this morning. When Steph contacted me and asked me to preach, I said to him, is there something that you want me to speak on? And he said to me, no, Mark, just share what God has laid on your heart. And so there's a word that's burning in me this morning that I'd love to share. It was amazing. I don't know if the worship team knows what that is, because pretty much everything that we've sung this morning is what I want to speak about. I love it when God does that, don't you? And I, in order to share this word, I have to give a little bit of context, a bit of background, and share a little bit about, very briefly, my journey, so you can understand where it is that I'm going with this. But I'm originally from Cape Town, and as Mike said, married to Melissa. We've got four kids, and I grew up in a great family, although we didn't really go to church much. I knew the stories. I knew about God. To be completely honest with you, most of the teenage years were kind of one foot in both camps. I don't know if you can identify with that. July 1995, I was studying at the University of Cape Town, and I went to a service where a man by the name of Floyd McClung was speaking. Some of you might have read some of his books or been blessed by his ministry, and he spoke, and it absolutely radically touched my heart. At the end of the message, I had this incredible encounter with the Holy Spirit, and he awakened me to the beauty of who he is. My life has never been the same. I was wrecked by the presence of God, and I live my life wanting to know him and wanting to do that, make him known to the whole world. And we've been involved in ministry for some time. Started out as a youth pastor in Cape Town, ended up leading a church in Durban for a number of years, and then from 2011 to 2015, we lived in the UK as a family, involved with the ministry there and traveling and ministering, and God was doing amazing things. But 4 years ago, we ended up moving back to South Africa as a family. And to be honest with you, I didn't think we would ever move back, not for any bad reason. South Africa is my home. I just didn't think it was in the plan. And we moved back to South Africa, and I suddenly found myself in a season, maybe you can identify, where I described to people it was a season of what now? Anyone been there? And when what you think is going to happen doesn't happen, and suddenly you're on a track that you never thought was going to happen, and you find yourself in a season where you go, I don't know what's next, God. And so in that space, in that season, all I knew to do was to go to him, which is probably the plan A in the first place in any case. And I felt like God was drawing me deeper into his presence. It wasn't that my relationship with God was not good. My heart was alive, but he began to draw me deeper and deeper than I've ever been before. He began to speak to me about what I should be studying in the Word, and I spent, I don't know, probably 2-3 years just living in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, living in the Gospels. I'd read them over and over again many times, but there was something fresh and something new that I felt like God was wanting to do in my life. And I remember one day waking up, and I was reading through the Gospel of John, probably one of my favorite books of the Bible, and I came to the story in John chapter 11 that probably many of you have read many times before. But you know when you read something, and even though you've read it before, sometimes the Holy Spirit takes something that you know in your head, but he takes it and he just seems to bring it alive into your heart, and you know, like you know, like you know, that he is speaking to you. Have you had that experience before? Don't you love God's word? I love how the Holy Spirit takes the word and brings it alive in our hearts. Some people seem to think that we must choose between the Holy Spirit and the word. That's the biggest lie. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Word of God together comes alive in our hearts. And that's what happened to me as I read the story in John chapter 11 that you might know is the story of Jesus and Lazarus. Remember that story? And so I want to read to you this morning what I read, and then give you a bit of a context for the passage, and just share with you what God said to me, what I felt he was laying on my heart. And the more I looked at this, the more I realized it wasn't just for me, and I get to travel and go to various places. I see God doing this in his body, his church, in so many people's lives, and I hope that what I'm going to share will bless you this morning as well. So let's read together from John chapter 11, verse 38. We're talking about the story of Jesus and Lazarus, and this is what it says. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and his feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. So this story is this moment that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Now, if we rewind a little bit, you will know that if you've read the story, that Jesus was friends with Lazarus, who was the brother of Mary and Martha, and they were discipling people, they were ministering in various places, and then word came that Lazarus was sick. In other words, Jesus, please come. We need you in this moment, because if you don't come, he might die. It's very interesting that Jesus doesn't go at that moment. He continues to minister for another 2 days. It's kind of like, God, where are you? Have you felt that before? We sang it, we spoke about it this morning. Sometimes we don't always understand what he's doing or feel his presence. It doesn't always make sense, but yet he's got a bigger plan. Amen? And so they carry on ministering, and then 2 days, I think it was later, Jesus says to his disciples, we need to go and wake Lazarus up. And the disciples say, but surely if he's not well, if he's sick, sleeping is a good thing. Why do you want to go wake him up? And he says, well, actually, he's dead. We're going to go raise him from the dead. So off they go back to the town, and they go to the tomb, and they arrive at the tomb. And as we read and we heard this morning, when he gets to the tomb, he talks to the people, and he says, roll away the stone. And I think it was Mary or Martha says, but surely, you know, he's been dead for 4 days. It's not going to be smelling too good. And Jesus is like, trust me. And so he speaks into the tomb, and he says what? He says, Lazarus, come forth. In other words, he's saying, Lazarus, wake up. Amen. He awakens him, and the story tells us that Lazarus is raised from the dead, and he begins to come out of the tomb, but he comes out of the tomb alive, but he's still bound by the grave clothes that are around him. And I kind of have a bit of an imagination, and I kind of picture, I don't know how it is, but Lazarus kind of, I don't know, hey guys, I'm back, and like, but he's alive, but he's still bound. And Jesus looks at him, and he wants him not just alive, he wants him free. And he turns to those around and he says, untie this man and let him go. So as I'm reading the story, I feel like God just says to me, Mark, this is what I'm doing in your life. This is what I'm doing all across the world. As I get to minister and travel and experience different churches, different expressions of worship, I see that God is doing something that I can see in this passage of Scripture. Number one, I feel like God is awakening his church, his bride, to the beauty and the magnificence of who he is and what he's done for us. But not just awakening us, I feel like God is untying the body, setting us free, liberating us from the things that have bound us, that we can not only be alive, but we can be free to be the man, the woman that God has created us to be. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And so I began to think about this. God, what does it mean to be awakened? And a scripture came to my mind, Ephesians chapter 1, verse, I think it's 16, 17, 18. Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus, and he says, may God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you would know him better. And then he says this, may the eyes of your heart be opened, be enlightened. In other words, awakened. We don't just have eyes in our heads, we have eyes in our hearts. He's praying for the church in Ephesus that their hearts would come alive. Amen? That their hearts would come alive to what? Three things. Number one, the hope to which you have been called. Number two, the glorious inheritance in God's holy people. Number three, his incomparably great power for us who believe. And I'm like, God, what is it that you're saying? And I feel, in, as I read these scriptures, he's saying, I'm awakening my church to the hope to which you've been called, to the glorious inheritance in the saints, the incomparably great power for us to believe. What is that? He's awakening the body of Christ to the beauty of who he is and what he's done for us. Does that make sense? You know, when Jesus walked the earth, people came running after him, didn't they? And I think to myself, what was it about this man? I don't know, what did his eyes look like? What did his voice sound like? What was it about this man that caused people to flock after him? It says crowds of people went wherever he was. People were not running after a program, as good as that is. They were encountering a person called Jesus. Their hearts were coming alive. There's a story in the Gospels where it says that Jesus was feeding, I think it's the 4,000 or the 5,000. You might remember the story. And Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, these people have been with us for 3 days. Maybe they're hungry. Give them something to eat. And I'm thinking, Like 3 days before, I don't think they thought they would be following him for 3 days. I don't think they packed all their lunch. Yeah, were you with me? I think they were just like, whoa, there he goes, run after him. So for 3 days, they were so captivated by his presence that they prioritized him even over their physical needs. What was it about him? And God is captivating the heart of the bride of Christ, the church, you and me, to the point where we are saying, God, if I could just be with you, if I could just see you, if I could just gaze upon the beauty of the Lord God, that is what it is about. What was it about him? Maybe it was the power of God. I don't know. Maybe it was the way he treated people. Maybe it was what he spoke, the words that came from his mouth. But there was something about this man called Jesus that captivated the hearts of people. Guys, God is awakening our hearts not to religion, but to relationship. Amen. He's doing something in his body, in his bride, where we are in awe of the majesty and the beauty. We sang this morning that old hymn, oh, come, let us adore him. Sorry, I'm so excited. Like, wow, that's the thing. It's the awe, the majesty of Jesus. And not just to who he is, but to what he's done for us. Again, Mike must be really prophetic because he was saying everything that I planned to say. You don't even need me up here. But we were talking about not living for victory, but from victory. Hey, how many of you watched the rugby yesterday? Sorry, I had to bring that into the sermon. How many? Do you know, if, like, I don't know about you, but I was a nervous wreck for about 4 hours. From about 8:30 when the build-up started all the way to the end, I was nervous. Now, if someone had told me, don't worry, it's fine, 32-12, we've won, I would have been a different person. Are you with me? Someone texted me in the evening. He said to me, oh, I'm watching the rugby again. I think we might win again. I'm like, no offense, but it's lovely to win against the English twice in one day. The point is, if you live for victory, hoping that maybe he's going to do something, you're not sure what's going to happen. But if you live from victory, your disposition, your heart, your life, your emotions, completely different place. Make sense? And he's saying, I want to awaken you, not just to who I am, but what I've done for you, the finished work of the cross, that you're not a slave, you're not an orphan, you're a son, you're a daughter that is loved by God. When he said, it is finished, he wasn't joking, he meant it. What does it look like for us to live, not arrogantly, humbly, but confidently, knowing who we are in Christ because of what Jesus has done for us? Put your hand on your heart for a moment. God wants to awaken my heart, your heart, to the beauty, the majesty, the magnificence of who he is and what he's done for us and the Spirit-led life and living as a son or a daughter in the king's courts. Can you say amen to that? So he comes to Lazarus. Number one, what does he do? He awakens him. He brings him to life. God is knocking, I believe, at the door of our hearts. A few weeks back in our church, we were doing a series on the book of Revelation. Sorry, the seven letters. The book of Revelation would take a while. Did you guys do a series on that as well? You're amazing. Okay, and so we did this series on the seven letters in Revelation 2 and 3, and I got to do the one on the church of Laodicea. I would love to share that with you, but you probably did an amazing job. But he comes and he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man would open, any person would open the door, I will come in and I will feast with you. God is knocking on the door of the church. We traditionally have used that scripture for those that don't know Jesus, but actually that letter was written to the church. He's saying, behold, I'm standing and I'm knocking, and the door is the door of my heart, and there's a handle on one side, it's my side. And I'm saying, God, would you open, would you come in? I'm opening the door, would you come in and feast with me? So God, awaken our hearts to the beauty of who he is, number one. But number two, I believe that he doesn't just want you alive, I believe that he wants you free. Amen? Can you say amen? I believe he wants you alive, but I believe he wants you free. And just picture this Lazarus coming out of the tomb and he's got these grave clothes around him. Physically, he's bound, but he's carrying the smell of death. And Jesus didn't go, awesome, Lazarus, you're alive, beautiful, have a nice life. He was like, no, this is only half the miracle. The other half is I want you free. And so he comes and I picture him being untied by the people. And it's like, he's like getting more and more, and finally he's free to go and live the life that he was created to live. God, I believe, comes to us in the same way. He awakens our hearts, but he comes to liberate. He comes to untie us. And I believe that he wants to untie us from the past. He wants to untie us from religion. He wants to untie us from sin. He wants to untie us from shame, yes. And I was thinking even this morning about the story in Luke 15 of Jesus talking about the two sons. Remember the story? We talk about the prodigal son. It's not about the prodigal son. It's about the father. Anyway, that's for another time. But he comes to the younger son, and the younger son was bound by shame, wasn't he? He was bound by the past, and he comes and he reconciles and puts him a robe on his shoulders and sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger, and he restores him. But he comes and he finds him in his bound state, and he sets him free from the past. Many of us today might be struggling with the past. Maybe shame, maybe guilt, maybe stuff that's happened in our lives, and we know we're free, but it's still kind of there. Anyone know what I'm talking about? He wants to come and he wants to untie us from shame and from guilt and from sin and from addictions and things that are just messing up our lives. But then he goes to the older son. The younger son was probably bound by shame. The older son was bound by religion. And he comes to him and he sets him free. He unties him. He says, it's not about what you do. It's all about what I have done. Okay? What is that wonderful noise? Upstairs, bless them. I'm like, am I hearing heaven singing? It's an interesting sound. And he comes and he doesn't just awaken, he comes and he unties. Why? Because God is on the move to raise up a generation that will live radically devoted to God, no longer bound by the past, but set free to be the men, the woman that God has called you to be. So guys, that's pretty much what I wanted to say to you. But God is on the move. And he's coming to awaken our hearts. He's coming to liberate. He's coming to untie us. He's coming to set us free. Why? Because he has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of your life. So this morning, that was just the warm-up. Now I'm going to get... No. I want to pray for people today. Because the word of God is not an end in itself. It's an invitation to something. That's his presence. And so I believe that this morning there are people here. Number one, your hearts need to come alive. But number two, there's people, and I particularly felt as I prayed for you this morning, I felt like Jesus was saying, Mark, there are people who need to be liberated today. And I want to pray for freedom to come. I want to pray for God to set you free from the past, but I want to pray for God to set you free to be the people that he created you to be. And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come back on the stage, if you wouldn't mind joining. And I'm going to ask everybody, as you come on the stage, wherever you are, if you can all stand to your feet this morning. And perhaps if we can not kind of move around, this is not the end of the message. There's still a bit more I want to do. But perhaps we can just take a moment this morning, wherever you are, to close your eyes and to just reflect for a moment on what it is that the Father is saying to you today. So let's close our eyes. I love to put my hands out in front of me just like this as a sign of surrender to him. Maybe you guys can just begin to play in the background. That'd be beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's invite the Holy Spirit just to come and begin to move on our hearts this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you come? Maybe this morning, as I've shared, something has stood out for you today. Perhaps you'd be honest with me and say, Mark, I come to this church, I've been in church for a while, but my heart, I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I've given my life to him, but the depths of my heart cries out for more. I don't want to just go through the motions of just doing the right stuff, as important as that is. I want my heart to sing again. I want my heart to come alive. I want to fall in love with Jesus. I want to be captivated by him. I want to be so in love with him that I'd be willing to skip 3 days of food, 9 meals, just to be with Jesus. If that's you this morning, and that's me, I'm putting my hands up, then just raise your hands to the heavenlies this morning. As we do this, maybe there's people here today, you've never even given your life to Christ. You've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe again, you've been in church, but you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Then if that's you this morning and you're saying, I want to know him. I want to know who he is, the resurrected Christ. I want to walk with him. I want to give him my life. Then join these people with us. Put your hands up high. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you would begin to move over this beautiful congregation of people. That God, that you would come and begin to blow a fresh wind of your Spirit into the depths of our hearts, Lord. Oh, Father, we don't want to know about you. We want to know you. Jesus said, this is eternal life. John chapter 17, verse 3, this is eternal life. That you would know God. Not know about him, that you would know him. He invites you to a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. God, I pray that you would awaken our hearts, Lord. You would awaken our hearts to the magnificence of who you are. That you would awaken our hearts to what you've done for us, Lord. Lord, we gaze upon even the cross this morning, reminded of your life, your death, but your resurrection. We're reminded of what you did for us, what you said, it is finished, that we no longer live for victory, but from the victory of heaven. God declares over you this morning, you're not a slave. You're not an orphan. You're a son, you're a daughter, and I love you. When the Father spoke over his son, Jesus, as he came out of the waters of baptism, the words were, this is my son whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. And God, I believe, says the same over you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. My favor rests upon you. I'm for you. I am not against you. I delight in you. This week I was reading from Psalm 18. And David prays and he says, you rescued me because you delighted in me. Have you ever wondered how he feels about you? David says, you delighted in me. The book of Zephaniah says, you rejoice over me with singing. God loves you. He's not angry with you. He loves you. He's saying, come a little closer. Come into my heart. Let me show you who I really am. You know, I know that so many people in this world have got this incorrect view of God. So many people see him as distant and not connected and kind of religious and waiting to punish us for the mistakes that we make. Yes, God is holy. Yes, God is powerful. But he is a loving Father who desires you, who pursues you, who loves you, who wants you, who wants you for friendship and relationship. In John 15, he says, I no longer call you a servant because I call you a friend. God says to me and to you today, you are my friends. You're my sons. You're my daughters. And if that's not enough, he even calls us his bride. I know that's weird for us guys to be called the bride. Ladies, you're called sons. Straight. It's not about gender. It's about relationship. You're not a slave, you're not an orphan, you're a son, you're a daughter, you're a friend, but you are the bride of Christ. In human terms, there is no closer relationship on the earth than between a husband and a wife. He uses that analogy to say, this is how I feel about you. As the bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so the Lord God rejoices over you, the book of Isaiah says. Wow. I remember the day I got married, almost 21 years ago. I was rejoicing over my bride. I was standing at the front of that altar, and as she walked down, I was a blubbering mess. I was crying. I was exploding with passion. I was just this. I can't believe that she's mine. And the Bible says, as the bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so the Lord rejoices over you. Take a deep breath in. Just breathe in this morning. And as you do that, just symbolically breathe in his love for you. So good. We live in this world where there is so much noise. There's so many voices vying for our attention. But in moments like this, we quieten our hearts to go, God, let me hear what you say. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. You're my bride. I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. God has not given you a spirit that makes you a slave to fear. He's given you the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. But I believe that he's not just awakening our hearts. I believe he's bringing freedom to people today. I see him untying you. I see him liberating you. There's people who've come in here this morning and you love God, but it's like there's this shadow. There's this fear. There's this stuff that's clinging to you that God's saying, today when you walk out of this place, you're going to walk out free. Amen. And some of us have been carrying fear. Some of us have been carrying shame. Some of us have been carrying guilt. Some of us have carried a belief system that God will only bless us if we get everything perfectly right. The Bible says it is by grace that you have been saved. It's not of your own works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. And he comes and he says, let me untie you. Let me free you. Let me set you free from fear. Let me set you free from guilt. Let me set you free from shame. Let me set you free from religion. Somebody once said, religion is man's effort to make themselves presentable before God. As much as we want to live holy lives, it is God's grace that changes us. It is God's word that changes us. It's not my effort. It's not my strength. It's me saying yes to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes and he transforms my life into the image of Christ. But God is untying. God is liberating. Hebrews chapter 12, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race that God has called us to run. God is freeing us, not just so that we can be free. He's freeing you so that you can run. He's freeing you so that you can be the man, woman God made you to be. He comes to you, he says, I've got a purpose for your life. I've got a plan for your life. These things are getting in the way. Today we're setting you free that you can do all that I called you to do. How many of you are saying, Mark, I want that freedom? Anybody here this morning saying, I want that freedom. I want that liberty. I want to be the one that says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If that's you, just put up your hands. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. Where you are, just put up your hands and let's pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you move? Would you set the captives free? Would you heal the brokenhearted? Would you cleanse us, purify us, transform us? God, we want to run the race that you've called us to run, no longer hindered and bound by fear and sin and shame and guilt and religion. God, set your captives free today in Jesus' name. Just give it to him. Whatever it is that you know that Holy Spirit is speaking to you about right now, that's hindering you, holding you back, put it in his hands. Put it in his hands. Say, God, I cast this burden, this care unto you. Give it to him. You know, it might not be sin or shame. You know, Mike said in the worship that sometimes we have to hand over the burdens of things we're even praying for. Maybe it's someone you're praying for. Maybe it's a situation that's causing you to feel oppressed. Hand it over to Jesus this morning and say, God, I give it to you. He said, Matthew 11:28, come to me all who are weary and burdened and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're pressed down, it's not God. He wants to come and free you. Yes, we walk through suffering, pain. Absolutely, that's part of life. But our hearts can be free. Amen. Our hearts can sing. Our hearts can celebrate. And that's what we're going to do today. And I wonder if it's okay if we sing a song together. Can we sing a song? That first song that we sang. Remember the first song, Glorious Day, I think it is. You know, sometimes worship ministry time is nice and quiet. I feel like we need to celebrate a little bit this morning. Like, I feel like we need to dance. You know, there's power in dancing into freedom. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's power in going, I am not bound by any of this stuff anymore. I am free. And I feel like we're going to dance our way into victory this morning. Anyone say amen? Okay, now listen, please don't stand there all like you've got grave clothes around you. Okay, I want a little bit of joy. I want a little bit of freedom. I want you to move and begin to sing and celebrate because God has set us free. Can I have a shout of amen? Come on. Let's go for it.